Okay, good morning and shalom aleichem, everybody. Welcome back to Five to Go. This is our anniversary parsha. I was looking back at my notes, and Achrei Mos Kedoshim is the first parsha that we did, parshiot, that we did last year in our Five to Go series. So happy birthday, happy anniversary to us and to this shir. So five new Divrei Torah for your Shabbos table for this year, 5781. And we'll begin right now with a story. So it's Achrei Mos Kedoshim. I had the tremendous privilege in Schuss to learn in YU's Kolel Elyon, which is a post-smicha program. In order to get into the Kolel Elyon, you needed to take, I believe it was 7 oral bechinas, oral tests with 7 different Roshi Yeshiva. I think one of them, you have to submit an article. They're all very different in nature. Questions that they ask you, mostly about what you are learning. Others were about anything in Torah. It was all hands on deck. And needless to say, there was very little sleep that I had over the course of those few months in which I took those bechinot. You had to do them on your own. You had to schedule them on your own with different yeshiva. And then there was some process that was done in order to determine who got in. Baruch Hashem, I made it. But there was always a hak afterwards in the base medrash. What did he ask you? What was it about? Whether you were in it or not, you're always curious. Like, what did Rabbi Rosenzweig want to talk to you about? What did Rabbi Willig ask you about? And I remember one conversation I had with a friend of mine. He had just met. I wasn't up for it yet. I was, 2 years away from applying. And someone said that they just met with Rav Schechter for their oral bechina. Rav Schechter meets with all the Talmidim to get into his kolel, at the smicha kolel, and into the kolel elyon. And with Rav Schechter, it's usually not about necessarily what you're learning. He will ask you different random questions from all over Torah, and you have to, do your best. Let's say like that. So it was Achrei Mos Kedoshim that Shabbos. And somebody asked him, I said, what did Rav Schechter ask you? There was a whole group of guys that, circled this one guy and said, what did he ask you? He said, I don't know. He asked me like such easy questions. What did he ask you? Well, he asked me what Haftorah we read from this Shabbos. So what Haftorah we read from? So the guy's like, I don't know which perek in Yeshayahu reading from, but like, it's probably Yeshayahu. So Rav Schechter said, it's Achrei Mos Kedoshim. Which Haftorah do we read from? Is it Achrei Mos or is it Kedoshim? So the guy's like, I don't know. There's a rule. You always read from the second parsha. So from Achrei Mos, we read from Kedoshim. That's just how it works. And some perek in Yeshayahu, because that's like the go-to answer. And then they went into other answers. And then an old Talmud of Rav Schechter, like a more seasoned student of Rav Schechter, said, he got you. Rav Schechter says it in such a humble way. He doesn't ever say somebody's wrong. He goes, okay, good. And they go on. He doesn't want to make anyone ever feel bad. So, but this student said, this is a famous piece of Torah from Rabbi Soloveitchik. So let's look at this. Which Haftorah do we read this Shabbos? So the Rama writes in Or HaChaim, Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. I don't know why it's in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. That's where it is. Simen Tav Chav Ches. Ukshakorin base parashios. When you read two parshas, what do you read? Which haftorah do you read? Rama says, that's the rule. Maftir Rechruna. Just like this guy said. Bilvad. Except for. The Rama says, there's one exception to this rule where you don't read the second haftorah. You read the first one. Bilvad v'achrim mos kedoshim. D'maftirin halo kibnei kushihim. Shehi Aftoras Achrimus, the name for the Aftorah for Achrimus is called Haloha Kibnei Kushiyim. And we read that Haftorah. So the Ramah says we always read the second, except for this Shabbos, where we read the first. The Mishnah Brura elaborates on this a little bit further. And the Mishnah Brura writes that why is that so? What's so bad about the Haftorah of Kedoshim? The Haftorah for Kedoshim references the to'evos, the abominations that occurred in Yerushalayim during and pre-Chorban HaBayis. And when they are separated, so we'll read Kedoshim. But when they're together, we choose not to read about the abominations, but we talk more about the positive aspects of Yerushalayim, and that is referenced in the Haftorah for Acharei Mos. It happens to be, the Mishnah Berurah says, Levush, Rav Mordechai Yaffe, one of the great poskim and rabbanim from the 1700s, disagrees with the Levush, with the Ramah over here, but that is the general minhag across the board, I think across the world, that Ashkenazim, for sure, we read Acharei Mos. And Rabbi Soloveitchik said, what is the message here? Why is that? Is it that we're overlooking bad? Is it like we want to like close our eyes? There's a scandal here. We want to ignore it, push it away, stick it to the bottom of the pile. Is that what's going on here? No. The Rav says, you see from here a very, very important idea about our lives. When we have an option to reflect on something in a negative way, or reflect on something in a positive way, we choose to look at it in a positive light. When you have that option, we always choose positivity. We choose optimism over pessimism. That is the yesod that we learn out from here. And this really is reflective of a beautiful idea from the Emes Liakov, where Yaakov Kamenetsky writes that there's nicknames for all of the Haftorahs that we have. And they're famous Haftorahs that are Shabbos, Shabbos Hagadol, Shabbos Shuva, Shabbos Zachor. We have different Shabbosim that have names, and they're reflected usually, and the name is based on the Haftorah. And Shabbos Chazon. And he asks about a lot of these Haftorahs that really, especially Shabbos Hagadol, the word Gadol comes from the end of the Haftorah and not from the beginning of the Haftorah. So why would you name the Haftorah after the end of it? It goes after Acharei Mos, is the first words in the beginning words in the Parsha. Because Chazal understood that the Haftorah is supposed to give us hope. Hope it's supposed to give us this vision that the future is going to be bright. As difficult as today might be, or the past few days or months have been, the future is always brighter. And that's reflected that even the name of that's given to the Haftorah always focuses on the positivity. Shabbos HaGadol, referring to the day that's going to be Gadol V'Nora, the day of Yemos HaMashiach. And that is such an important idea from the Rav. And this idea, because this guy got this right, this is something that I will never forget from the Rav. But I want to just add one more point over here, is that Lubavitcher Rebbe, there's an excellent book that I read last year in the middle of the pandemic called Positivity Bias, in which the Rebbe, somebody wrote a book about the Rebbe's, outlook on life, and expressed that it was one midah that took up every aspect of every decision the Rebbe made, and so many of his initiatives and a lot of his Torah, is he always is focusing on the positive. For example, he would never call a hospital, in hospital in Hebrew is called a Beit Cholim. The Rebbe refused to call it a house of the sick. He would call it a merpa'a, or a Beis Refuah, a healing center, because the Jew's job is to take what is perceived or maybe in reality negative, not ignoring reality, but focusing on the positive. And he has a beautiful thought here. In Parshas Kedoshim, we are told, "Bitzedek tishbot es amisecha." You have to judge your friends favorably, right? That's where we know you have to dan lekaf schus, to judge somebody. You have to always find merit in other people. So the Rebbe writes, which implies, this implies a conscious and concerted and creative effort to discover the hidden merits in others and bring them to the fore. And the Rebbe said like this, even if one considers another person to be 90% lacking in goodness and merits, one must nevertheless remember that that person still maintains a 10% of positive virtue. And very often, and we see this in so many people's lives, you hold on to that 10%. You may have like a terrible student, teachers. You may have one of your children that is always getting in trouble. But by focusing more and spinning and reframing things to the positive way, soon that 10% takes over who they are and overcomes all of that negativity. But that really starts with us to have this positivity bias in terms of our outlook on life, and that is reflected in which Haftorah is chosen to be read on this Shabbos.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
That's a great point. I love the point you just made. However, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why is it that we choose the second Haftorah all the time and not the first?
Because in general, Rosh Hashanah has some tshuvas on this because of Corona. Things had to be switched up, and there, you know, a lot that had to was related to this. Is that the Haftorah should reflect what was previously read, so it should reflect the maftir. That's generally it needs to be a summation or similar to the maftir. So, like for example, if you're reading Parshat Zachor, why do you read Parshat Zachor? The Haftorah about Shmuel and Shaul and killing Amalek, because the maftir is about remembering Amalek. Though it goes off of that. So it happens to me that whether you read Achrei Mos Kedoshim, it all connects to, because Kedoshim and Achrei Mos both end the same way. They both end with the halachos of who you can marry and who you can't marry, licentious relationships, etc. So you could choose which Haftorah because of that. It's a great question, man. Milti.
Okay.
Good. You. Next, in Achrei Mos, we are told.
I think there was also a time when the Torah was not permitted to be read. I think there was a time when the Torah was not permitted to be read, and they substituted the Navi portion that related to that type of a portion in the parasha.
Correct. Yeah, 100%. That's where Haftorah is, you know, originated from. It's unclear what moment in time that was. Some say it was during times of the Greek persecution. Yes, where Torah was not allowed to be read publicly, so they read Haftorah. It was similar enough to the Torah portion of that week. Chidush Arim v'chai behem. We are told we have a mitzvah that we literally were able to live this past 2 years. V'chai behem, the paramount mitzvah of pikuach nefesh, that we take lives seriously. And the mitzvah pikuach nefesh overrides almost every mitzvah in the entire Torah, minus three. V'chai behem, the Torah says. So the Chidush HaRim says something really, really beautiful. The Chidush HaRim, the first Ger Rebbe, he writes, so some understand v'chai behem means you should live with the mitzvos and you shouldn't be sad. And he says it's deeper than that. He says that we have to understand that all of our chiyas, our life, our livelihood, our energy, our passion, our, what we'd say, you know, our sweat, blood, and guts, and tears, and all of our life comes from Torah and mitzvos. That's our energy. That's where we should be energized. We plugged in. They say this about guys that are like really learning well. They're plugged in. What do you mean they're plugged in? They're plugged into the true energy source, which is the Torah itself. That's v'chai bahem. We are commanded. Again, there's a halakhic implication, but also just a understanding that it's kihem chayenu, that the Torah itself is our life force. And that's why he says something very beautiful, that right after, again, it's a halakhic discussion if this is appropriate, but in many, many, almost all the Siddur have it this way, that right after Birchas HaTorah, what bracha is made next? We make the bracha of Elokai Neshama. Machzir Neshamos Livgari Mason. It's only through the Torah that we're able to bring back and revive our Neshamos. Right? We only can make the bracha of Machzir Neshamos Livgari Mason after you make a Birchas HaTorah, because then you appreciate it. You appreciate it. The Sefer Yagdil Torah. I'm just talking to somebody, you know, well-known educator, about the Sefer Yagdil Torah of Andrew Israeli. And he said it's just an amazing sefer. It's a beautiful sefer with a lot of beautiful Torah and beautiful vorts. The Imri Emes, also in the progeny in the line of Ger Chassidim, he writes something very, very beautiful. He writes that the Gemara Maseches Tainis asks Rav Ada Bar Ava, what do you merit your long life? What do you think he lived a very long life? I don't know how many years he lived, but he lived a long life. And his students asked him, why do you think he lived a long life? And he said, because I never slept in the shul. I never slept in the Beis HaMedrash. So the Imri Emes says, like, what's the new chiddush here? Like, you're not allowed to sleep in shul. Okay, can you sleep during my drasha? Okay, we can leave that for a different time. But v'lo yashanti b'beis ha-medrash. So he says, what's the chiddush here? You're not allowed to sleep in shul. It's not appropriate. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's not okay. So he says, no, understanding is, lo yashanti b'beis ha-medrash doesn't mean I didn't physically sleep, but I was always spiritually awake. I was aware. I was energized by living, by being in the shul, by being in the beis ha-medrash. It gave me so much energy and so much excitement. Not physically sleeping, the lo yashanti, the beis ha-medrash, I was alive. I just heard a beautiful story from Rabbi Reisman. Rabbi Reisman said that the minhag in Telz, the Telz Yeshiva in Cleveland, which again previously was in pre-war Europe, their minhag is that people didn't raise their hands. When there was a shir going on with Rosh Yeshiva, with the Ramin, they didn't. The guys would scream out questions. And the way that shir would work is that, like, it would be this amazing give and take. And it was like a full of fire. It was very alive. And he said that one time the Talmidim wanted to go on strike. It was unclear whether they didn't like the dorm conditions or the food wasn't good enough, but they wanted to go on strike. So what did they do? Rav Lazer Gordon, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Lazer Gordon got out of Kiva Shir, and nobody asked any questions. None of the Talmidim raised their hands, screamed out any questions. 5 minutes into the shir, Rav Lazer Gordon closed all of his svarim, and he said to them, this is not a basic theros. This is not how we learn Torah. We learn Torah with energy, and with passion, and with excitement. That is the deeper meaning of the chai bahem, putting our tefillin on, coming to shul and davening. It should be energy, v'lo yashanti, the beis ha-medrash. Okay, moving right along, that's a second idea from Achrei Moses. Let's go back, let's jump back, we'll pivot back to Parshas Kedoshim. Kedoshim to you, says the Torah, we must be holy. And all of the mefarshim, all the commentaries forever have grappled with this issue. What does this mean? What does it mean to be holy? The amazing Ramban, Nachmanides says, you know what this means? Kadesh atzmecha b'motor locha. You sanctify yourself with what is permitted to you. You have to be careful to not be, his language is, to not be a novel b'rishos haTorah. Technically, there are many things that are permitted to us. He says you can, there's no isser per se to eat a lot of food. Maybe, Baal Tashka would be, Baal Gaiva, to be gluttonous. There might be, but to a certain degree, you can eat whatever you want. It's kosher. There are certain things that are permitted, that are permissive and permitted, that are okay to do. So where, what does it mean to be kadosh, he says? It means to know your limitations and to understand that just because we're living in this world and just because you made a bracha on it doesn't mean that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be doing this. Each person on their own level. Kadesh Atzma, how do we become holy? By understanding that there are boundaries. Understanding that sometimes we have to say stop to ourselves. We don't move forward. And we don't need everything. We have to live simpler lives. And by toning it down a little bit, that is Kedusha, having limitations. And again, I can't say this is a message for our generation. How much is so much? We live in a world of abundance, a world that our great-great-grandparents could never dream of that we have. Should I get this car or that car? Yeah, you have an option of what, 7 different types of, 35 different types of meats, 7 different types of dips. It's unbelievable. You go to a Jewish supermarket. Right? Kedusha doesn't mean you ignore all of that, but it means you set your boundaries for yourself. We live in an iPhone and generation where we're completely connected and hooked up to everything in the entire world. It's up to us to make gedarim. It's up to us to make boundaries on that. Kadesh atzmecha b'motor lecha. Sanctify yourself with what is permitted to you. The Shlach HaKadosh takes us one step deeper. Beautiful, beautiful language from the Shla HaKadosh. The Shla writes the following. The Shla says, what does it mean, Kadesh Atzmecha b'mutter l'cha? He says, don't read the word b'mutter, rather bimosar. How do you become holy? You have to know what is extraneous to you, what is essential, right? What's extra beyond you, and what is essential to who you are as a person. How you mekadesh yourself, bimosar. Know what is not for you, know what is too much for you, and know what is essential to who you are. There are so many books being written today about efficiency and productivity and how to make the most out of our days and our years and our lives. And it comes down to one word. You have to understand what is essential. What do you need it for? What is your tafkid? What is for you? And everything else you have to leave off. There's a great book written by Greg McKeon called Essentialism. He talks about this ad nauseum in a very, very important way. There are so many things being thrown our way. There's so many different things that we could be doing in our lives, direction and the path we could be going on. Our job is to know b'motor l'cha. What is essential to who we are? What are our core values? And what is beyond? What is extra? From that, kadesh asmecha. Rabbi Lapp, go ahead.
I look at kedoshim as actually taking their seres hadibros and breaking it into pieces and explaining each one of the seres hadibros and explaining it piece by piece, so we understand it much better than but I do have one question. Pasuk Gimel. Ish v'imo v'obev tira'u v'shem sa'asai tishmuru. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It follows the Seres HaDibros, and yet Shabbos is actually the fourth mitzvah.
Right, and keep it out in the fifth.
It's the fifth mitzvah.
Yeah.
And it makes so short. Shabbos is the ikar of so many dinim, yeah, of our entire Torah. And yet it's ish v'imoy v'oviv tiro.
Yeah. It's a great, yeah, Rabbi Lapp, it's a great question. I don't have an answer. Why did it flip it? I do recall, I don't know what he says, I don't remember. Check out Rav Hirsch. If you have Rav Hirsch at home, if you don't, I'm happy to share it with you. I can send it to you. I think Rav Hirsch might address this question as to why those are flipped. Those are flipped. We're going to go now, 10 psukim later, to a very sharp point from the Ishbitzer Rebbe. The Ishbitzer points out, the Torah tells us, Lo tashok es re'acha. You can't do oshek to your friend. Velo tigzol, can't steal. Velo talin pulat sachir itcha ad aboker. And you can't hold out workers' wages until the morning. From the end of the pasuk, we learn that if you owe a worker money, a babysitter, you owe them money, you should not pay them in the morning. You have to pay them right away. That is the chiyuv over here. Lo tashok. What is the isher of lo tashok es re'acha? What does that mean? So says Rashi here that lo tashok means forcibly withholding anything belonging to another person, right? Something that was left in your house for safekeeping. You owe somebody something else, and by you holding it back from them, you're in violation of the Isser Deraisa called Oshek. So says the Ishbitzer Rebbe, and I'll show it to you inside because it's really beautiful. The Ishbitzer Rebbe says like this. He writes a little bit. Good. Lo tashok. Ezra, hainu kol davar tov shiucha la'adam lahamsi. Not only is referring to the money or object that you owe this person, that's a simple understanding, but he says, any goodness that you could bring to somebody else and you don't, you're in violation of Oshek. And he writes, if you have a good friend that needs your tfilos, that could use some goodness, a good compliment, could use a phone call and you have the time to do that and you withhold that, you're in violation of Oshek. Wow. Af tefila sheyachol ha'adam lispalel el Hashem ba'ad chaveru, even davening, that you could daven to a Kadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of your friend, the lo mispalel ba'ado, and you don't daven for him, nikra Oshek Osel is considered Oshek. It's a very strong language. But think of, so Oshek means withholding objects or money. Deeper meaning here, the Meshilach, Ishbit Sarebi says, first off, holding back any goodness that's coming somebody's way, our responsibility to give it to them, whatever it might be. His example is here, the tefillah that we owe these individuals. Wow, not we owe them, but it's our duty, our responsibility to pray for them. Let's go back. Let's go back to the beginning of Achrimos Kiddushim, working backwards here. Rabbi Lapp, go ahead.
Yeah, see, that's exactly what I was trying to say. Okay, it says Loi Signov. What do we say, Loi Signov? That's not, you shouldn't,
right.
You shouldn't kidnap, right? We're talking about, you get kidnapped. Right. Oh, but put it into another category. Don't keep your workers' wages because that's stealing. That's a form of stealing. So what I'm doing is I'm taking this Loi Signov from the more difficult level to that of that everyday level.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Thank you. Yeah. Vayidaber Hashem. So we began with the Haftorah, and then we'll go back to the beginning of Achrimos. Lubavitcher Rebbe. Began with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, we'll end with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe. You tell me what's wrong with this pasuk. Achrimos Shnei B'nei Aaron. After the death of the two sons of Aaron, Bekorvasam Lifnei Hashem, Vayamusu. Because of the closest that they achieved before God, Vayamusu, and they died. What is a possible question we can ask on this pasuk? So asks the Rebbe, Ma Peshar Kefa Halashon Achrei Moshe Nei B'nei Aaron B'kor Hashem V'Hashem V'Yemusu. The beginning of the pasuk tells us Achrei Moshe Nei B'nei Aaron, after the death of Aaron's two sons, they died. The Kor Hashem V'Fnei Hashem. Period. Because they brought a korban or they got too close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. They went to Kadosh Kadosh unannounced. V'Yemusu is extra. We already know they died. Via Musu, they died. So discuss that your job is able. I'm sure why is that necessary? It's an extra word. So says the Rebbe like this. This is the Rebbe's idea. So he says, number one, the first time it's written, they died. It's stating a fact. The fact is, nothing of you died. Why did they die? The korvasam lifnei Hashem via Musu. They felt, many of the Bali Chassidus and the Bali Kabbalah, they all write that they wanted to live a life without boundaries. They were very holy souls, and they wanted to live a life with beyond boundaries. They didn't want to be bound by, you only go into the Kodesh Hashem on Yom Kippur, and you can't go here until you go to the mikvah. No, they were completely, they lived very unbridled lives. We know people like this. People like, they don't, rules aren't for them. Rigidity is not for them. Like Corona for them is so hard because like, why are you telling me what to do? I just want to live my life. I want to just live. Leave me alone. So their souls came from a very holy place. And to the point where like they were just uncomfortable with living. Living for them, not because of anything they did wrong, but for them, it was just uncomfortable to be here because they wanted their neshamos to just like to be free and to connect straight to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bikor v'asam lifnei Hashem v'yamusu, they just in a certain sense wanted this. Bikor v'asam lifnei Hashem v'yamusu, this is part of their aveira. They didn't understand, they couldn't understand that that's not what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Hashem wants even those souls, those very holy and pious souls, need to live in this world. need to be relegated by certain boundaries and by rules and regulations. Again, everybody according to their level. But they said, no, we can't do it. Can't do it. But our job as a Jew is to engage in this world, to be ma'ala, the sparks, the nitzotzos in this world. You know, not to live beyond it. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave this world for us to enjoy. He gave us this world to uplift and to, you know, encounter and to sanctify all parts of this world. And that's why, right, the Rebbe writes, this is read on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, when a Jew is feeling this, like, holiest time, and maybe questioning, is it so necessary for me to, like, pay a bill? Does God really care, you know, about all these silly, trivial things? And the answer is yes. The way of Nadav and Avihu was absolutely wrong, right? Right? He doesn't want us to be, to remove our chaye hachulin, right? He wants us to be very much involved in this world. And that really connects to Kedoshim to you. What does it mean to be holy? To be holy means to engage in this world. Shimon Shkup, the great Rosh Hashiva, writes this in his introduction to Shari Yosher. It's to engage in this world, not to be mufka. Hashem is the holiest in, you know, in whatever that means. But as a human being, us to be holy is to be a part of this world, to engage and to be marva kavod shamayim for everybody. And that reflects, this double language reflects not only the state that they were in, but the sin that they achieved by trying to do what they did. Just to review, we learned five different thoughts for our Shabbos table. Number one, the Haftorah. First one. Second one, this is the exception to the rule. Number two, v'chai b'hem, to live with the mitzvos. The beautiful story of Eliezer Gordon, no questions, and he couldn't even live with that. Kadesh atzmecha, how do we become holy? B'moser l'cha, to know what is necessary, what's essential, and what is extra. For lo ta'ashok, that we have responsibility to daven, to care for others, and by not doing that, we're withholding that, and we're in violation, Ishbitzer says, of oshek. And number five, the double language, achrei mos and vayamusu, that the thought, the theory, the life, or the non-life, that the Nadav and Avihu tried to live is not for us. That's not appropriate for us in this world. Our job is to engage in this world and to uplift and to bring Hashem more present into this world itself. Wish everybody a great Shabbos. I am very much looking forward to next week. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will be live in person. We will also be on Zoom for those that cannot make it, but we will also be live. And if you are around the area, we would love to see you in person. There will be boxed breakfast that you can eat, and we will be in the tents outside. Be'ezrat Hashem, the weather should be much better than today. It's freezing today, and everybody should enjoy and have a healthy and safe Shabbos.
We'll be in the gardens.